Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, we're talking about how to have peace in the midst of fearful times, because you and I live in those times. Everywhere you turn, it's fear. The media is all about fear. Everything's all about fear. So how do we have peace? Now, just let me do a little review from last week, because we want to keep building on that. Peace is an issue of control. It's a matter of who is in control of your life. Who's in control of the circumstances? Who's in control of the world? Who's in control? And so you have peace when you feel like everything's in control. And we try to, you know, we're control freaks, but we want there to be control. And this peace that you and I are to have, it doesn't depend on our circumstances. It doesn't depend on what's going on around about us. That has nothing to do with our peace, the external stuff. It also is an issue of faith. Who's in control? God is. How do I know that? By faith. I believe that, right? Don't always understand it, but I believe that he is. So it's to faith, and it's for all Christians. All Christians should have peace all the time, constantly. Every day, you should have peace in your life. All right? Good? All right. So now we're going to move on to this understanding of how that you and I can have this presence in our life. There are some things that rob us of peace throughout our life. And so I have to guard them, because I have to be aware that there are things that will keep me from having constant peace. Not just peace once in a while, not peace just one day, but not the next, but peace consistently. Because God's always in control, right? So I should know that he's there. So here's some things that kind of rob us of peace. First of all, sudden fear. Sudden fear. In other words, something happens and we allow fear to come in. Over and 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 over again, the Bible says, do not be afraid. Fear comes. Now here's the battle with fear. You can't let it stay. So that there's something that happens. It brings fear. You can't stop that, right? That's just a part of who we are. But I can stop it from staying. And so if I take that fear and if I begin to think about it, if I begin to meditate on it, if I begin to expand it, then I have allowed this fear that suddenly is there to just grow. And as I let it grow, I lose peace. And so I can't be upset by things. I can't allow things to rob me of that. So fear is there. And every day I have to remind myself, no, God's in control. I can trust him. He's going to take care of me. And God, you're with me today. I can have peace. So you can't allow the fear that wants to come into your life, you can't allow it to stay. All right? All right. Secondly, Satan, the enemy. Now here's the deal. Satan is doing everything he can to prevent you from having peace. Now, here's what he wants to do. He knows that if he can take peace away from you, one of the ways he'll do that is to cause you to doubt. Well, this happened to me. Where is God? Why didn't God take care of me? I thought God was in charge. If God's with me, then why has this happened? And you have to stand up and be able to say, no, God is in charge. I don't understand everything, but I still believe he's going to do that. Satan wants you to be afraid. Why? So you doubt, which is what? no faith, right? So when I have no faith, I have no peace, because faith is the element that brings peace about, because I believe God's in control. And so the enemy, the Bible calls him the enemy of our soul, the mind, will, and emotion part of us. He is out there so that you and I will not have peace, because when we don't have peace, I'm going to say it this way, we don't act like Christians. We let fear come in. We let things happen. We begin to doubt. We begin to get anxious. We begin to start worrying. And when we start doing all those things, we can't be effective in our walk and relationship with God, can we? So he's doing everything he can to cause us to quit, to give up, to stop, to get distracted, so that we'll doubt and be afraid. Because there is a battle that goes on in our lives. Thirdly, sin. Sin robs you of peace. Because sin creates a barrier between you and God, right? That's what sin does. When Adam and Eve sinned, it put a barrier between them and God. That barrier can only be broken by Jesus Christ when he died on a cross. And so what sin does is keep us from having peace, because when sin is there, we begin to feel guilty, don't we? And when you feel guilty, you kind of get a little, upset, a little tense, and you can pray for God's peace all that you want. But you have to remember that, you're not going to have that peace until everything is right between you and God, because he's the author of peace. And Jesus says, your peace is in me. And so if there's something that keeping me away from having that relationship that I want to have, then that hinders me having true peace. Now, here's this simple illustration. It's very easy, because I know this is a big area for a lot of people. The area of forgiveness. You see, if you choose not to forgive someone, you're not going to have peace. Because the Bible says you're to do it. So it creates a barrier when you don't, doesn't it? Well, I don't want to forgive them. They did this to me, and they should pay. And in that midst of that, and you wanting something to be evened out, and you want to settle the score, and you want them to pay for what they've done to you, and you just can't imagine them being released from everything, what you're doing is forfeiting your peace. And it's not worth that. And so I have to understand that what the Holy Spirit does, he convicts of sin, he lets me know when things aren't right, and if I will deal with them, peace will be restored. But if I refuse it and hold on to it, then I don't have peace. Questions? Oh, you're making it easy today, huh? Okay. So, sudden fear, the enemy, Satan, sin, then surrendering peace. In other words, I give it up. I choose to focus on something else. I choose to worry about something. I choose to go this other direction. I'm not consciously thinking about surrendering peace, but what I do when I choose to go a direction that, see, worry says God isn't in control, right? So if I choose to go down that road, that's my choice, right? And when I start worrying, how many of you have worried and had peace at the same time? It's just hard to do, isn't it? And so you come to that place and, something happens to you, and someone says something about you, and your mind just starts racing. What do they mean? Why'd they say that? Well, that wasn't kind to them. What? And you go on and on and on about it. And so before you go along, you're a little tense, you're a little upset, and you don't have peace anymore. You chose to go down that road. Well, I made this decision. Boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I really regret that. And you think about it, and you keep bringing it up in your mind, and you keep rehearsing it. If only I'd have known, why didn't I do this? Why couldn't I have done that? And as you keep doing that, you're losing peace, aren't you? Now, you can blame that on Satan all you want, but in reality, you've made a choice. You don't have to focus on that. You don't have to let that be something that, you know, affects you. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand the circumstances I'm facing. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't understand how hard this is and how difficult it is. Yeah, okay, maybe I don't. But you can still have peace in the midst of that. Right? Yeah. Okay. Now, here's the deal. I've heard people say it. Well, they stole my peace from me. No, they didn't. You gave it up. Your call. Your choice. And so you and I sometimes just give it up. And we shouldn't. We lose our peace because we lay it down. We concede it. We surrender it. We just say, okay, I'm going to go this direction. And so we ended up surrendering peace. Another reason we lose peace is we're seeing things wrong. We see things wrong. In other words, we tend to look at certain things and come to conclusions that aren't there. We tend to look at this and say it's going to be this and this and this. When we see things wrong, what we do is we forget that God's in control. And what I see and what I think might happen might seem very real to me, but yet I can't eliminate the God factor in this. You can hear all the bad news you want on television. You know, you can watch it all you want, but you just have to learn. Look, I don't have to pay attention to that. I don't have to let that be the way I look at the world. I don't have to make my judgments according to what they've said. Because what they've said may be the facts, may be true, but they leave God out of the equation. And so I have to always understand that there's a different way of looking at things. And when you see the world through faith, you look at it differently than other people. Now, some of you went there, and I know this. Okay, well, then if I just look at the world through faith, I'm a Pollyanna. I just see everything great and everything wonderful. No, no, no. Remember we talked about last week. You see the reality of things. You understand how things really are. But you also believe that God's in control and somehow God works things together for good. And so I have to understand that, yes, things are hard and things, there's bad things going on. And yes, all that stuff happened. But God is still the one orchestrating events and he's still got in charge of everything. And so I just see it from a different thing. You know, you get bad news from a physician. If you're not careful, you have a wrong focus. Oh, no, he said this. This is going to happen. It might, but it might not. And God's still in control. And I have to learn to put that into place, that God is always present, God is always able, and God can take care of anything. And so I have to recognize that and choose to look at things differently than others may. All right? So all of these things at times in our life work around us and cause us at time to lose peace. So how do I defeat them? How do I deal with them? How do I handle them in a way so that I don't lose my peace? Because here's the thing. It's like everything else in the Christian life. You have to work at it. You have a responsibility, right? We want to pray, oh God, give me peace, give me peace, give me peace. And God says, okay, stop being negative. Oh God, I want peace, I want peace. I'll give it to you, quit being negative. Well, but God, you don't understand. You don't say, God, give me peace, quit being negative. I have to make a choice here, don't I? So there's my part that I play in this that I have to take responsibility for if I want peace. And I think I said it last week. Let me just say it again. If you don't have peace as a Christian, it's nobody's fault but your own. All right? It's there. Jesus says, my peace, I give to you. It's a gift, my peace, not what the world offers, but it's here. You can have this in the midst of all of this. So how do I handle that? Number one, I need to ask myself this. Have I stopped thanking and praising God? In other words, I need to keep God in perspective. Well, you might say, well, I got a good perspective of this world, okay? I won't argue that, but do you have a good perspective of God? And here's what I've told you over and over again. I'll just say it again. You cannot make God big enough. And so I need to develop an attitude that gives God glory, praise, honor for who he is, and I need to be thanking him for what I have and where I am. Too often, we focus on what I don't have, and therefore I don't have peace. Rather than thanking God, God, thank you for what you've given to me. Grateful people tend to be more peaceful people because they're grateful for what they've got. So I need to work at making God greater. By the way, it's the reason we sing songs. It's the main reason. Because the songs make God greater. They come to a place where they put God in a greater place in your life. That's why I'm a big proponent of, you know what? You should have a song or two that you like that you can sing on a regular basis. Now, for some of you, when I say sing, I mean quietly. Okay? In other words, there's just a tune in your head and it's nowhere else. It's no it's just, it's going on. Others don't need to hear it, but there should be a song that's there. There should be a way that you're giving God praise, because God says it this way. He will give perfect peace to those whose minds are fixed on him. And so that means I need to ask myself, you know what? I'm struggling right now, maybe. I don't have the peace that I know I should be having in this. I need to ask myself, am I giving God enough credit? Am I thanking God enough for what I have and who I am and what I've done? Am I giving God praise for who he is? Maybe I need to give more attention to him than to all the other stuff. And it's easy to let all the other stuff crowd out him, isn't it? It's just really easy. And rather than thinking about all the junk, all the stuff that might happen, God, I don't have an answer for this. I don't understand this. But you're great. And you're worthy. And I'm grateful for what you've given to me. And so that's where we start with, when we don't have peace. Am I giving the attention to God that he deserves and that I need to give him? Because otherwise, I'm going to look at stuff and think, I can't do that. This might happen. This might happen. And it might. But if God's in control, he's going to take me through it. And it's all going to be okay. Right? Okay? Otis, go ahead.
Seems that I have more peace when I spend more time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Meditating, just thinking about it. And I haven't always been able to do that, but the Lord has been talking to me lately about those things of just thinking about the things of God, going over what I've read in the Bible. Even my prayer, which is sometimes very short, before a meal, I'm giving praise to God. And so the more I do those kind of things, which aren't always easy, sometimes I'm really hungry and I said, well, God, just. Yeah. But I need to stop. I really need to stop thinking about those things, but thinking about the things that are on high. And when I think about those things, when I spend time with those things, then I really have that peace.
The meditation thing. You know, you can do that, set a time to do that, but you should be able to do that all the time. You're driving in the car. You know, rather than thinking about all the crazy drivers and how bad the traffic is, God, thanks for giving me this time as I crawl like a snail through this road to just think about you and to be grateful to you and for who you are. Yeah. I got peace. Otherwise, if you don't, you're just going to be anxious and upset with the whole thing, aren't you? Yeah. Secondly, here's another question. Am I making God too small? Now, we've talked a little bit about this already, but, you know, is there a problem? Here, God said it once. He said it this way. Is there anything too difficult for me? The answer? No, there's not. And sometimes I make my problems bigger than God. Now, well, God's, this is going on, this is going on. Not everything in life goes on like we want it to. Not everything happens like we want it to happen. But God's still there, isn't he? And God will still help us. And so I have to really concentrate on making God bigger. Now, that helps when you go back to the previous thing I just said. You know, thanking, praising God. What are you doing? You're making God bigger. And so you keep doing this. You keep understanding, God, there's nothing too hard for you to handle. There's nothing too difficult. God, I know what I'm going through is hard for me. I know that there's some not good news on the horizon, perhaps. God, I understand all of this. God, I understand this is a strenuous time. And I understand it's a time season where for me, God, it's really tough because of things that have happened in the past. Not an easy time. But God, I understand that you're greater than all of this. And that you will help me through it. And see, you should bother him with the small ones too. There's no problem too small for God, just as there's no problem too great for God. Because you see, if I don't, here's what I'm saying. God, I'll handle the small stuff, and I'll just give you the big stuff. You know what happens after a while? Everything's small. And before long, I'm not handling it well. And so I have to come to that place where I understand God care. If I care about it, God cares about it. And he's able to help me. Thirdly, am I setting my thoughts on the negatives? Do you notice a pattern here? That I need to understand that it is very easy. It is easy, simple, common to see the negatives in life. Everyone has a gift of negativity. Okay? Everyone has the ability to see what's wrong with things. And if you work in a business and you're the boss, you don't need to be told what's wrong. You can see it very well. You need to be told, what can we do to fix it? And see, everybody can say what's wrong, but very few have a good solution. And so what I have to do is understand that we all have a tendency to be negative and to see the negative things. And the temptation to dwell on the negative aspects of life is just incredible. We look at what we don't have rather than what we have. We look at what's wrong with that person rather than what's right with them. We even do that to ourselves. And so we got to understand that if I keep my thoughts wrong and they're negative, and if I feed myself this diet of negativity, faith begins to die. And if you do that at work, if you do that with the people that you live, they begin to die around you. You see, well, I'm no good. No one likes me. What's the use? I can't do anything. Why try? Nothing goes my way. The world's going to pieces. You know, woe is me. Nothing's secure. No one's safe anymore. People are just out to get me. Oh, it's just horrible. You add your little phrase to it. We've all had them at times, haven't we? Now, yeah. My kids probably hated this, but I had a little phrase that I'd use with them when they'd start in on it. I'd say, that's stinking thinking. Okay? And that's not the way to think about things. You can look at the negative. You can see it. Anybody can. It takes a really good person to see the positive. And you see, when God looks at you, he sees the positive. He sees what you can do. He sees who you can be. He sees all of that. And so you have to come to that place where you're willing to come and say, you know what? I want to think right. Because if you don't think, here's what happens. Here's where you end up. If this thought thing, the last few points, if you don't do them, here's where you end up. You end up with something called depression. Okay? You end up with wrong thinking. Depressed people are negative people. Count on it. All the time. And so I have to deal with that negative, because if I don't, then I will end up being down. I will end up affecting people around me, and I will be digging a hole deep that eventually I'm going to be looking up wondering how I can get out of here. By the way you get out is the same way you got in. You change the way you think. That's why in Romans it says, you know what? When you come to Christ, you're now a new creature. You change the way you think. Because you think God thoughts, not world thoughts, not self thoughts. And so faith, again, is positive. I need to be willing to do that. Now, tied with that, let's just move to the next one, because it kind of said, am I allowing the negative emotions to stay in my heart? In other words, something happens, I internalize it, I take it in, and I allow it to take root there. I keep it. God says, he puts it this way, you cast all your cares on me because I care for you. And he says, I don't want you to keep that. I don't want you to let it grow in you. I want you to give it away. I want you to learn how to not let things take root in your life. And either you can open your life up to the negative stuff, you can open it up and just let it crawl inside. And before long, what happens is you have a history of negative things that have taken root in your life that are very hard to get rid of. And for some people, they've been negative ever since they've been a little kid. And they've just allowed it stay there inside of them. And it just keeps building and building and building until they say these famous words. It's just the way I am. Well, it might be, but it's not the way you should stay. And see, you and I have to understand that God wants to do a work in that heart part of us to get rid of those things that we've allowed to grow there. And we can't just let them stay.
I have a brother who, when you ask him about anything, how's that food? He would always say the same thing. Well, not bad. He never said anything was good. He always said, how are you feeling? Well, not bad. Everything was just not bad. We need to get beyond the not bad. The good. It's wonderful. How is this? Great. It's really tremendous. How are you feeling? I feel great. I feel good. Just turns it all around.
When you walk into church and somebody says to you, how's it going today? Good. Now, you've just been through a horrible argument with somebody on the way in. Okay? You have just dealing with a circumstance in your life that is really tough to deal with. But you know what? In spite of all of that, you're still doing good. You don't have, and here, you don't have to lie about, that's not lying. As long as it is in here. Okay? Now, if you're just making something up so you don't want anybody to know, that's another thing. And you're sitting here going, oh, things are horrible, blah, blah, blah. Then, okay, that's the answer. But you know what? It's possible, even in the midst of hardship and difficulty, to still have joy, to still have peace, to still have that. This was just brought home to me, and I don't like going back here, but let me just do it anyway because it illustrates the point. I remember when I was in the hospital, you know, you lay in a bed for months and don't move and everything, and I forget what was going on. A nurse happened to walk in one day, and we were having a conversation. Goes, wow, you sure are in a good mood. You sure are good. And I recognize, you know what? People notice when even in the midst of going through a hard time, you can still have joy. They can notice that, yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed. You know, I'm good. You know, if you, all you are is negative and upset all the time, nobody wants a piece of that. Okay? But if you can have joy, if you can have peace, if you can just live that way, other people are attracted to that kind of thing, aren't they? So even in the midst of all the troubles that life has, yes, you go through them. Yes, you're not ignoring them. Yes, you're not pretending they're not there. They are. But you know God is in control. I can't fix it all, but God will take care of that. God will take care of me, and He will help me, and therefore I can have peace because I know that God is working. That's the way we live. All the time. And so I can't allow the negative part, because if I do, I become anxious. I begin to develop an attitude, a mindset that's negative. And it just becomes horrible in the way that I live. Negative people aren't peaceful people. And so I have to not let peace get inside of me. I have to keep my mind right. I have to know that when fear comes, I'm not going to let it stay. I'm going to keep my mind focused on God, who He is, what He's able to do. I will do my part. God will do His. And God's going to help me. That's the way we live. And I shouldn't let anything steal that from me. But in order to not let it steal it from me, I have to guard my heart. I have to guard my life so that it doesn't get in there. That's, I know, not easy to do, but it's necessary. Last point. Here's another question. Am I losing sight of Jesus' example? Jesus never calls people who follow Him to live in denial or with their heads stuck in the sand. Now, we're in the world, but not of it. Now, when you follow Jesus, I love the way when you read it. Here, case in point. Jesus tells the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. And if you remember the story, a big storm comes up. And they're terrified. Now, did Jesus know a storm was there on their way? Oh, you bet He did. So He sent them into a storm. You know what? Sometimes He sends you into a storm. Right? Now remember this, He comes in walking on the water, right? And they look and they think He's a ghost. You know, they're terrified. That played into their mythology of what they thought about the water and all that kind of stuff. And so they thought He was there. And Peter, let me come over. And he begins to sink. And, you know, he steps into the boat. They're just kind of wondering what's going on. And they're terrified. And Jesus says to them, why are you so afraid? You have little faith. And He speaks, and the storm calms immediately, and they're terrified again. Who is this? This guy. The wind and the waves obey Him. You see, His example is this with the disciples. He was constantly trying to teach them, I'm in control. You don't have to be afraid. I will be here. I will take care of you. You don't have to worry. And over and over and over again, he tells him, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough cares of its own. Don't I feed the lilies are dressed better than you are. Don't I feed the sparrows? I'm going to take care of you. Don't do that. And so over and over again, he just kind of tries to give them object lessons of what they need to do. So his example was, I'm going to help you go through this. I'm going to get you in this. I'll get you out of this. I'll be with you as you go through this. But in the midst of it, you just still can have peace because I'm here and I'm in control. Because troubles come and troubles go. They come, they go. They come, they go, all throughout life, don't they? They're always there. And so the nature is this, when troubles come, oh no, how are we going to make it? I don't know that I'm going to go, life's so hard, so difficult, so bad. Oh, I'll never live through this. I can't do this anymore. I can't face this. I've had enough. I've had it up to here. I can't go on. And then it goes away. Oh, life's so good. It's so happy. You know, I'm so wonderful. God's so good to me. You know, now, whether troubles are there or whether they're not, God is still the same. I read this phrase. I like it. In everything you go through, it's for a season and for a reason. It won't last. You've got to grow. God will help you deepen your faith in Him. And He says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't be troubled. And so you and I live this life. Troubles come and troubles go. That's life, right? Jesus set the example for us. He taught us. He taught his disciples that over and over again. So much of what he taught had to deal with that. But what he wanted to get at was, look, trust me. I'm in control. Put your faith in me and have peace. What a unique way to live, huh? What a great way to live. And therefore, the angels say, there is peace on earth. And there is. Father, help us to live in your peace. Thank you for it. We go to live in it. In thy name. Amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.